BBC Audio presents This Is Capitalism, a collection of programmes about the economic framework that surrounds our every move. We begin with The New Age of Capitalism, presented by David Grossman.
Hello. Let's start with a simple question.
What would you say the biggest cab company in the world is?
Uber.
Uber.
What about you? What would you say the big...
I would say Uber as well. Yeah, definitely.
An almost universal response among random passers-by in central London. And yet, Uber doesn't own any cabs, and according to them, they don't employ any drivers either. They're a great example of some of today's corporate giants, who seem to be made up largely of fresh air.
The Apples, the Microsofts, the LinkedIns.
If you look at the balance sheets of these companies, they've got a very tiddly amount of tangible assets. They've got, you know, the Google office building in Mountain View, which represents a few percentage points of the values of those companies. And then the rest looks like thin air. But in fact, it's these intangibles.
Stian Westlake, and before him, Professor Jonathan Haskell. Together, they've written a book called Capitalism Without Capital, The Rise of the Intangible Economy. It explains many of the puzzles of modern capitalism. For one thing, how come so few people can make so much money with, apparently, so little of physical substance? I suppose what we first need to understand is what is capital, so we can recognise the significance of its absence. Jonathan.
What we think of as capital is it's the product of investment by firms who build a long-term asset which they can get a stream of benefits from. So an obvious example would be a building. So when Sainsbury's decide to invest in a new store, the first thing Sainsbury's do is they'll buy a building. A building will last for many, many years, and that counts, therefore, as a capital asset. And it's a tangible capital asset because it's something that you can touch and feel.
So what are intangible assets, Stian?
So intangible assets are anything that you can't touch or feel. And some examples of that are research and development. A company does some research to develop a new type of, let's say, mobile phone chip. That's something that although you can't touch and feel the idea, it's something that has a cost up front and it brings benefits, it brings profits to that company over the long term. So even though it doesn't look much like a factory or like a supermarket, from an economic point of view, it can be just as valuable, if not more.
And the intangible economy, when you start looking for it, is actually everywhere. Even somewhere as seemingly solidly physical as a gym.
One and sprint. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
It's really interesting how a lot of very physical business is getting transformed by the intangible economy. So when I go to my local gym, you see lots of physical stuff. You see weight benches, there's a big building, there's a front desk. All that stuff is a tangible asset. But really interestingly, the gym I go to, like many gyms around the country, spends a lot of their time offering classes. Classes like Body Pump, for example. And there's a really interesting story there, because it turns out that Body Pump and classes like it are not offered by the gyms themselves, but are a brand of a company based in New Zealand called Les Mills International, which is basically an intangible rich company. What they do is they design workout routines, they acquire the music rights to the music that you do the routines to, they do training packages for the instructors and charge a license fee for that. So at the heart of one of the most kind of physical businesses you can think of, the business of physiques, a gym, you have this intangible-based business making tons of money and really going almost unnoticed.
So today's economy looks very different from even the quite recent past. If we got into the Radio 4 time machine and went back to the 50s, the big new American companies that were listing on the stock market are composed overwhelmingly of tangible assets. 85% of their value is in real stuff. Not anymore.
They've always have been intangible assets. Businesses have always had ideas or they've invested in brands. Now, in countries like the UK, the US, Germany, more of the capital that's invested each year is intangible, these ideas and these brands, than tangible. And that's the big change that we're recording here.
And how does that change the way we think about the economy? How do we look at what is valuable?
So some of the really big changes, one of them, for example, is that intangible assets tend to be what we would call scalable. If you consider a company like Uber, which have a very valuable algorithm,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?